They say no one listens to albums anymore. On the litmus test, we take albums, old and new, and review them just to see how good they really are. Lyrics, production, track placement, artist features, and other components are measured. And in the end, we give it an overall score. So let's dive into it. The litmus test. Welcome back once again to another fantastic episode of the litmus test. This episode is special because it's the season finale. And we have reached our something we like to call the litties. And that's not a set in stone, but, you know, I like how it sounds. So anyway, this would be a special episode again because we have some returning guests. I am your host, of course, G. Smith. And I have my co-host, as always, Dave. And then we also have Ian from the Vibes and Stuff podcast. And then we have Reggie from Life. So what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
What's up? So we'll get into it, man. I'm gonna tell you guys the albums that we reviewed, and I'm just gonna break down some numbers for you guys, and then we'll dive right in with your thoughts. So this is in order. We did Kanye West, Late Registration, which was very interesting. to say the least, a very interesting review. Then we did Missy Elliott's The Real World. That's when things really picked up. Eminem, the Slim Shady LP. Lupe Fiasco, Food and Liquor. Method Man and Redman, Blackout. 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. Kendrick Lamar, Section 80. Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. Busta Rhymes, Extinction Level Event. Lil Wayne, The Carter Five. The Cool Kids, Bake Sale. Logic, Young Sinatra 4, Pharoah Monch, Internal Affairs, and Bryson Tiller, Trap Soul. Our highest rated album was Kendrick Lamar's Section 80. I believe everybody gave that album a 10. The lowest rated album was Lil Wayne's The Carter 5. Kendrick Lamar was the highest rated, but he didn't get all 10s. The only unanimous score that we gave out was 10s for Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. And we'll start right there. So we'll start with Dave. What stood out to you about this season? Any particular album that we reviewed stood out to you, maybe surprised you, or kind of, you know, maybe disappointed you a little bit more after we reviewed it?
Man, I would have to go with Missy's album, honestly.
Yeah.
I have such fond memories of that album. But listening to it again, man, it was rough, man. It was so hit or miss. Like, the hits were incredible, but then the misses were so bad, man. It's like watching Sammy Sosa at the plate or something. Like,
yeah. It was either a home run or a strikeout.
Yeah, or completely, like, I mean, bad strikeout, too. Like, it wasn't, like, she had Lil' Kim on, like, two interludes just talking. It was weird, man. And I don't remember that, you know, like, initially listening to the album. I guess I just skipped them, but that would be my biggest surprise.
Yeah, that was, I was the same way. I had, like, the memories of it, man. Like, I was like, man, I can't wait to listen to this album again. Because it had Eminem, it had Big Boy, it had the Hot Boys at the time, it had Redman. I was just like, man, I can't wait. And then we put it on, and, man, the rest is history. What go to you, Reggie? Any album that we review, again, stood out to you or maybe disappointed you unexpectedly?
For sure. The Missy. I'm with everybody on that.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna end up talking about it again at some point. But yeah, I got the same sentiments, man. Yeah, it's just, I'm lost for words, actually.
Wow. Wow. That bad.
Okay. But I can't remember which ones I participated in almost. So with that being said, I'm just going to leave it at that. And I just go, you know, I come back on other stuff.
Well, let me before we get to Ian, I'll break that down for you. I don't know. I don't have marked which ones you did, but I know out of the 14 you did, you were on 5 shows.
Okay.
Ian did 3, Jamil did 2, and me and Dave did we were in all of them, of course. But yeah, that Missy was a tough listen, especially after you got past the track with her and Redman. It felt like you just trying to, like you flying a plane and that punk going down and you about to break your arms trying to pull this thing back up. Ian, we'll swing it to you, man. Which album kind of maybe surprised you a little bit or even, you know, something was unexpected or just disappointing altogether?
Well, there were two reviews this past season that actually did surprise me. One of them y'all already touched on. That was the Missy review. You know, you look at the guest appearances in the lineup, and you thinking you see yourself, and you take into consideration, you know, Timberland's production.
Yes.
And you're thinking to yourself, man, there's no way this album is going to be anything less than a 7. You know. And man, right. Y'all came down hard on that album, man. I think it got to what, a 5.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was brutal. Low. It was brutal.
You know, so I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised by that. Like I'm not like a Missy fan myself, but I definitely thought y'all's feedback on that album was gonna be a little kinder, but hey, it is what it is. You know, hindsight's 2020, that's the whole point of the show. But another surprising moment in the season was the Mos Def review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was not expecting everybody to give it a perfect 10. I had a feeling Dave might have given it a 10, but I did not expect you to give it a 10. You know, what happens with a lot of these, like, you know, arguably classic albums, even if we weren't around and up on it when it came out, or like you mentioned, your ears weren't really geared toward Mos Def brand of hip hop at the time it dropped. Even years later, we might hear the quality in the music, but we still, you know what I mean? We still wouldn't necessarily get the perfect score, and you did. So that was kind of surprising to me. It was a pleasant surprise because, like, of course, I gave it a 10 as well. But
yeah.
that was a little surprising. I didn't expect everybody to rate it so high.
Yeah, that Mos Def was I can't say it was a surprise, but it was unexpected for me because I hadn't, I mean, if as we talked about, I hadn't heard it in its entirety. I'd heard singles from it, but I just hadn't heard the album, and it was definitely dope. So just to give you some more stats, the highest rated album we did was Kendrick Lamar Section 80. The lowest rated was Lil Wayne Carter 5. That unanimous score was Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. And the average ratings of our guests. Matter of fact, we'll come back to that because that's more interesting. So in you guys' opinion, I guess we'll start with you, Ian. What was the worst album that we reviewed on the season? Do you think
the one that I thought was the worst?
Yes.
Lil Wayne, the Carter 5. I heard maybe like 6 or 7 tracks off that album, and I wasn't interested, you know, in hearing the rest. And it's like, I'm not, you know, and I'm not, but still, like, my opinion is a little biased because Lil Wayne isn't and has never been my cup of tea. So, yeah, I mean, like, he's just not my cup of tea. So when everybody gave it such a low score, I was just like, okay, maybe y'all see what I see. You know what I mean?
Right.
Wayne, but, you know, it just is what it is with him. Like, but outside of him, man, I think everything was pretty. I never heard Bryson Tiller's Trap Soul album, so I can't even speak on that, but. If it's how y'all described it, it's probably not my cup of tea either. But I think Lil Wayne earned the lowest, you know, score for the season. So he definitely earned it.
Yeah, that's understandable. Bryson Tiller's not for everybody, but that's why we reviewed it, because it's not polarizing, but it will draw an opinion out of you. So we'll go to Dave. In your opinion, man, what we were on every show. So what was the worst album that we reviewed?
Oh man. I mean, it had to be the Carter, man. That album, it was frustrating too, because it's so long. Like, he had so long to work on it.
Yes.
And I feel like he just kind of put something out. You know what I mean? Like, you feel like he got released from his contract and was like, well, let's just grab some tracks and put them together and call it an album. Like, it was a mix up of old stuff that was 3-4 years old. A lot of it sounded dated. Like, it just... It was sad. It was depressing. It just wasn't a good album. Like, it wasn't reflective of him as an artist. Like, we've heard how good Wayne can be when he gets the right writers around him, and you know, the production's on point. But this was like the exact opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Let me ask y'all a question, because I didn't hear the whole album. Mm-hmm. Was it bad because it was too much of a mixed bag of all the wrong things, or
no? It was. I think the issue with the album was that it was monotonous. It's the same theme, same vibe. Nothing was. It felt old, and then it was, if you know what I'm saying. Like, he was in such a bad place during that time.
Yeah,
and it all comes out on this album, and it's not fun to listen to. Even the song you did with Swiss Beats,
it wasn't Lil Wayne with the swagger and the bravado.
Yes,
like there's no joy in this album. Like even the track that used that old recycled
the Let's Get It.
It's not the one he got to sing. He turned it to a single, but it doesn't matter. It's the theme of it. Like, the whole theme of the album, like, was just dry. Like, it started out with this sad intro from his mom.
Yeah.
And she crying, and then it goes into a song with the now deceased XXXTentacion, or however you say his name, with him on the hook. And it's just like, and that just kept going. Like, the theme of, like, death and sadness. Like, he just wasn't in a good headspace, and it showed, man. Like, the tracks he picked. He got this song with a couple people. Even the song with Kendrick is like 3-4 years old, and it just wasn't a good album. Like,
okay,
everything so put together didn't work.
So tonally, it was a depressing album as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe like he had just took a turn artistically, and weren't really responding to it, because like, Lil Wayne, man, like, I'm not going front, like, he doesn't have skills, you know what I mean? Like, I've heard Lil Wayne verses here and there that I was actually feeling, so, like, for me, it'd be more interesting to hear him actually speak on stuff with some substance, so.
Yeah, I don't know, I guess I gotta ask Reggie, but I don't think there was anything, Lil Wayne doesn't have a problem speaking about things going on socially.
He didn't do that on the album. He got a track with Nicki Minaj, but she's singing. Like, everything he kind of did on the album, like, it didn't make sense. Like, it didn't make for a good album. Like, I couldn't even, like, that's why it seemed like they had a hard time even coming up with singles for the album.
Yeah.
Because they were so, so bad or so polarizing. Like,
it was rough. Reggie,
listen, Nicki Minaj singing.
you just reminded me of that mess. Hey, Reggie, was it the same for you? Lil Wayne's album, was that the worst one we reviewed, or you got another one?
No, that was definitely the worst. It was hard, man, because I mean, you know, he's been going through so much with the label, and you know what I'm saying, like, you know, people supposedly trying to kill him. It's all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, you got Free Wayne and Free the Carter Five and So you just rooting for this album to be like so fire. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like just unadulterated, like pure heat, and then you get it and it like did not meet the expectations by no means. I'm not even saying that it may not be a good song or two on the album, but it just wasn't what it was supposed to be, by no means.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he had tracks on there that was 7, 8, like some, like even longer years old, it's like, dude, like, how you plan on competing in today's, you know what I'm saying, like, music, and then, you know what I'm saying, like, at one point you was calling yourself the greatest, and then you come out with, like, subpar album, like, that's not even, that don't even go, like, you know what I'm saying, like, none of the greats, like, I mean, Jay-Z, Nas, I mean, they don't make, like, I just say bad albums. Like, they make albums that people may not like, you know what I'm saying? But they don't make bad albums. This was a bad album. Yeah. Dude. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah. It was.
It was horrible. It should have been a mixtape. That's what it should have been.
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
It should have been like, feed the fans or something, and then it just would have been music for people to listen to because they wanted a dose of Wayne. Like, for it to be called an album. And then, like, people was, like, saying it was hard. Like, this boy was trash. It was trash.
Yeah.
It should have been called The Leftovers.
Something, man. Like, it should have been called, like, The Gentrification of the Carter or something, man. Like, it was terrible.
It was horrible. So let's flip it around then. And we'll start with you, Reggie. So what do you think was the best album we reviewed? I mean, we got a number of them.
Well, not say that
we necessarily reviewed, but that you've heard from this list. What do you consider to be the best album?
No, I would agree with y'all with the Mos Def. I mean, it's probably the most outside of the Section 80. It's probably the most well-rounded album in terms of just giving you a dosage of, you know what I'm saying, everything that I would say hip-hop entails, you know what I mean? And I think it's just, it was performed, you know what I'm saying, best. Mm-hmm. The beat selection, like the track selection, the order of it, like, I would say you guys were on point with that, you know what I'm saying, with giving that unanimous, you know what I'm saying, vote on that. So, yeah. I would agree with y'all.
Yeah, I thought it was, I we'll get back to my pick later, but I agree. The Mos Def album was dope. We'll go to you, Dave. From this list, what did you feel was the best album that you've heard off this list?
I don't know, man. It's a tie, man. I really always like Section 80.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of themes. I feel like he stuck the theme, especially for that to be his intro album, his debut album, and him to be so young when he made it too, for it to be that deep and that advanced. The production was on point. I love that album, man. That's a tough one, man. I'm gonna go with that one. I'm gonna stick with it, man. I could say that or most death, but I'm gonna stick with Section 8.
Okay. Ian, same thing for you.
Well, you know, since we all clearly hold the most death in high regard, you know, we all gave it out of 10. I mean, we you know, hey, it is what it is. It's wearing the crown. But if I had to go with a second place one outside of the most death, I would go with Feral Munch, Internal Affairs. The lyrical nuggets you get on that album and all the dark
nuggets. No, I was just laughing at your verbiage, man. The lyrical nuggets, man. It's just
yeah, man. I mean, that album just over delivers a lot like the Mos Def. You know, that album just over delivers with the beats and rhymes and dark themes and, you know, like, I mean, we already know, like, Pearl Munch and Mos Def and Talib and you know, Common. They were kind of like the Mount Rushmore for, like, independent hip-hop MCs in, like, the late 90s. And, you know, they really established themselves as, like, you know, lyricists in the game. So, you know, if I had to give one, you know, award one outside of the Mos Def, I'd give it to Pheromone.
Pheromone. Okay. Okay. I'm looking at this list, man. This is brutal, man. Lupe Fiasco's Food and Liquor, which y'all might not consider in the top, but that mess was dope. Kendrick Lamar, Section 80.
You should have top five, Rick.
Well, that's the list is your thing, man. I like to be final.
make them pick.
You got Lupe, Food and Liquor, Kendrick Lamar, Section 80, Mos Def, Black on Both Sides, Logic, Young Sinatra 4. Pheromone, Internal Affairs. I mean, it's that. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I guess, gun to my head, I've always had a fondness for Section 80, but I keep looking at this Lupe Fiasco Food and Liquor, and I honestly don't think it gets enough credit to be at the time that he was doing this. Like it was so refreshing, I guess you could say, considering that Kanye was out and he was basically what at his peak, Late Registration, yeah, going into what Graduation. I mean, that's, man,
I can go with that.
Kanye was huge, and for Lupe to just drop this off on people, man, dude, and for it to have so much content, from beginning to end, I mean, I was thoroughly impressed, man. Thoroughly impressed. But, of course, I got to give it to Section 80. But, Lupe, I see you. I see you.
But going back to what you said about the Lupe, though, man. Mm-hmm. The Lupe, when you listen to that album, man, it almost makes you mad. Because it's like, well, how come we can't get this from him no more? Like,
dude, yeah. it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand how somebody can go so less. I just don't get that. Like, how do you get so open that you just don't make sense no more?
Because of his agenda, he developed an agenda, and that became like a crusade for him almost, you know?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like you went that far left, like, that the music becomes, like, not a primary focus, or, like, your fans is not even,
yeah,
like, considered no more. Like,
I agree.
He went from...
Especially when you look at the second album.
From two amazing albums.
Yes.
And then from there, just went straight, like, almost loony. Like, I mean, like, I give Lasers, he didn't go so far on Lasers, but I mean, like, after that, it was just like, I don't know, man.
Lupe's music, it's so woke. It's too woke to enjoy at this point. Like,
yeah.
It's so woke, it's like the Clockwork Orange. Music.
Dude, like,
The Clockwork Orange was actually, that was watchable. Like,
I'm just talking.
Like, the last album, dude, I listened to it straight through, and I hated that album, man. Then you go back and find out it's about slavery, and then, like, it got all these hidden messages. Like, okay, that's cool, but I'm not about to sit in my car and listen to a song about currency.
Dude, I don't even want to ride the bus listening to slavery. Like, I don't
want to
do nothing.
Straight up, like, this is depressing. I don't want to listen to this, man.
Dude,
the whole like, album or half of it?
Ugh, man, I don't know, man. Like,
this is a classic example. Lupe, his latest work is a classic example of, like, conscious hip hop gone wrong. You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, okay, we talked about the Mos Def, right? And the themes of embracing blackness and all of that, that's all through that album. But at no point in that album did you feel like you were being preached.
Yeah, it wasn't heavy.
Like, the problem with MCs like Lupe Fiasco and Brother Ali, even Talib Kweli to a certain extent, it's like if you feel like you're being preached to, it feels like you're sitting in a speech at a community center or something, listening to a lecture sometimes, and it's like some rappers, I think, can kind of forget that, like, at the end of the day, this is music.
Right.
You know, so
you're an entertainer. You ain't just, I mean, rap is an art form, true. But come on, man. You still gotta entertain as well. And is everything so militant? Like, Here's what bothers me about Lupe. Listen to his first two albums and what we've got since then. Which one is the real Lupe? I don't know.
Dude, it's that's why I said it's frustrating, dude, because
he's evolved over time.
He discussed all those same social issues that so-called he got issues with now, and it was like he did it in such a well-mannered way.
Yes.
That you, like, was feeling it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wanted to hear more from him. And then so it's like, now you didn't evolve. You would think you would get better at it, like, better at hiding the message.
Yes.
It's like, now he's just giving it to you in, like, the most depressing form. And it's like, like I said, it just, I don't know. I don't get it, man. I mean, people grow up. I get it. Like, Jay-Z 444, like, you get messages. Even Nas, like, now on that, just certain gems that he put out on that 7-track with Kanye and them. It's like, these dudes have evolved, and yet they still giving you their message in a way that you want to listen to it. Like, I don't want to listen to Lupe at all. Like, if I meet him, I don't want to listen to him.
Dang.
I don't want to hear nothing that dude got to say no more. Like, it's so depressing, man. Like,
dang, dude.
It's depressing, man.
Man, I tried to pick it up, you know, but, man, we just keep getting hurt by these artists. So, let me get to the average ratings of everyone. So, Dave, as far as his ratings for the albums that we reviewed, he averaged giving out 7.9. Jameel was a 6.5. Reggie was an 8. I was a 7.8, and Ian had the highest. He averaged 9s. On his rating. So that either that speaks to the albums that we brought Ian on to review, or he just likes handing out high grades.
I wasn't just handing out high grades. Like, those were some quality albums.
Okay. I mean, that's understandable, man. Speak up. Let's get down to the big question, man. This is going to have a little discussion. If you could change one rating that you gave for an album, which one would it be? And we're going to start with our highest rating guest, Ian. So if there's one album that you could change, you did 3 shows, or if you've listened to one, and maybe you had a personal rating. Nah, skip that. You did 3 shows. If it's one you could change, which one would it be?
It would be Kanye West Late Registration. I gave that a 8.5. That was another surprising moment in the show, because I actually gave it the highest rating out of between myself, you, and Dave.
Yes.
Which I totally didn't expect, because I know y'all are bigger Kanye fans than me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't change it drastically. I change it from – I shave off half a point and make it an 8. Because, like, 8.5, you're flirting with a 9. And if you're flirting with a 9, then you're flirting with a classic. And it's like, okay, this album is – not a classic. I know a lot of hardcore Kanye fans consider that to be his best album if they're a fan of the, you know, of the quote unquote old Kanye.
Yeah.
But the thing with that album is that the songs on there that were good were really good.
Yes.
And then the songs on there that were not good were just like, I'm not gonna say almost ruined the album, but it really detracted. Like, I really felt that if he had just trimmed the fat a little bit and took the less of a color by numbers approach to how he crafted that album, it quite possibly could have been a 9 or 10 album.
I think that album, the reason why people regard that album is so highly, is like you said, the good tracks are really good, and it was the beginning. It was Kanye evolving his sound. It seemed like he had evolved it in like a year, you know, to go from College Dropout, which was so sample and so heavy, to now this with like John Bryan. This felt like a production, man. Like, this should be like on a movie or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really went for it. And I can understand people feeling like this was my, if it's not his best album, it's one of his best. But okay. So you would downgrade it to an 8. Okay, okay. So what? Let's go to Dave then.
It's still an excellent.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we go to you, Dave. You've been the main one. You had some issues with some early grades or early ratings that you handed out. So we'll go to you, man. If you could change one rating on an album that we reviewed, which one would it be?
I think I have to pick that late registration too. When I remember when we did it, that was one of the early ones, and I after the show, I thought about my scale from that point on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And from then, like, I had to kind of change the way I was grading some albums, because it was a good album, but I feel like, I don't know, it was 21 tracks, and I felt like I was kind of hard on it for some of the misses, but the album had some hits. So I would have to change my grade. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Was it a 7?
I believe you gave it a 7. I
think I gave it a 7. I would bump that up to... I think I would bump that up to like an 8 or 8.5.
So you would have raised it. I thought you would have lowered it. That's interesting.
Nah. Because you know what, man? I was listening to it again, man. The album was solid, man. I feel like the misses on it, we was really, really hard for the misses.
Yeah.
Like, Bring Me Down with Brandy was trash, obviously. We Major with Nas and Really Though was trash.
Yeah.
It was...
We'll get to you, Reggie.
It was sketch heavy, but the song, I mean, the album has some hits, man. You got Gone with Cam'ron on there.
Yeah.
Diamonds from Sierra Leone. You got the Diamonds track with Jay-Z. You
had
Roses, Crack Music, Drive Slow. Like, the album's solid, man. Touch the Sky gave you some early Lupe.
Yeah.
Who came and killed it. I would raise my grade, man, to an 8.5.
Wow. Okay. So now it's your turn, Reggie. If you could change one rating on an album, which one would it be?
I'm kind of like Dave. With me, I believe the first one I actually did was the Missy.
Yes.
And so after doing that one, it made me realize that this scoring was completely off. And so I gave that a high score, not realizing, you know what I'm saying, what else we was going to have to grade and how we were grading it. So with that being said, I would have to lower my Missy score. like drastically.
Wow.
I would probably give it a 5 or 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think, because I remember I gave it like an 8 or a 7.5 or something like that. And I remember doing that based upon, like, the tracks that I thoroughly enjoyed. But, you know what I'm saying? Now you listen to, like, you know, let's just say Lupe, or you listen to Section 80, it's like, if they get 10, by no means was she that close to a 10. You know what I'm saying? So. With that being said, I would have to lower that score, and I'm okay with doing that. I'm all right.
Okay. man, I'm looking at this list again. I agree. The Kanye was a looking back on it, was a bit contentious. I felt like I caved. I gave it a low score when I should have gave it a higher score. But I think the one that really bothers me is the Missy. I believe I gave the Missy either 5 or 6. I got the scores written down somewhere, but I believe I gave the Missy a 5 or 6. The problem with that is that's too high. I should have given that a 3. And the 3 represents Eminem Redman and the Hot Boys tracks. 1, 2, 3. Those are the best tracks she had. And those tracks alone will give her the 3. Disappointing, completely absurd, boring, like one dimensional. She was just, she featured on her own album. She was like DJ Khaled, but rapping, like, or singing. Like, it was really, I'm so upset with this album. Like I said before, I felt like I was wasting you guys' time. I felt bad. Like, I should pick another album before it's too late. This is horrible. Dude, by the time you get to the middle, there are 3 songs that sound just alike. I don't want it no more. I was done. And then you stick the track with the Hot Boys, Juvenile and BG. What's that, like 15?
It was low. And then it was like one of the hottest. It should have been up there with all the rest of them.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. This album was I never have to listen to this again. And I despise that Lil Wayne album. But this, there was no reason for this at all. Lil Wayne got a reason. There was no reason for this, especially coming off of your first album. I'm just glad we're past that. So next season, we got some new albums. Next season we're gonna try to get more R&B albums in there. It won't be all R&B because hip hop is something that we all love, but it will be more R&B. But my last question for you guys, I'm not sure if you thought about it. There is no particular set time for like year of when an album came out that we want to review, so you could pick whichever you like. But an album that you'd like to review next season. And I guess we can start with, we'll start with Dave. Not ready?
The game documentary. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I say the documentary off the top of my head. That's the first thing popped in my head.
Okay, so what's your initial vibe? Like, why do you want to review that?
I don't know, man, because I've been listening to Game last couple albums. Like, I was listening to Jesus Peace and Red.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those are like slept on classics.
Mm.
And I remember the production on the documentary kind of outshining his bars.
Yeah. Cause he had Timbaland and Just Blaze on there.
Yeah. And Dre. Like it was all top notch, man. That production was crazy on that album.
Yeah.
But lyrically I don't remember him spitting no gems and nothing like that. So I kinda wanna go back.
Okay.
And real like kinda, you know, revisit the album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Realize was it him or was he just kinda, like you said, being featured on his own album.
Ugh, like Missy, yeah. We'll swing to you, Ian. Is there an album, particular album, that you'd like to review next season?
Yeah. When you originally sent out your syllabus, you said 5 albums.
A syllabus?
And I went nuts, man. I actually wrote down 10.
10?
If you got to half of these albums, I would be happy, like, for next
year. Jeez.
So I'll just rattle them off. And, of course, you know, I guess it goes without saying I would like to be in on these reviews. But
okay.
The first one is Ghostface Killah, man. Supreme Clientele.
Huh. Okay.
Big Punch, Capital Punishment.
Okay.
Slick Rick, The Art of Storytelling. Excellent album. De La Soul, Mosaic Thump.
Mm.
Jaron Benton, the Mink Coat Killer LP. MERS, Knife Wonder, MERS 316. Master Ace, Disposable Art. A Tribe Called Quest, We Got It From Here, Thank You For Your Service. And then Sci High The Prince, Black History Project.
Okay. Okay.
That was well thought out.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I forgot one. Oh, and Dr. Dre, The Chronic 2001.
Okay.
I like that. I mean, yeah, you well thought out, young man.
Okay. All right. So
well, I mean, it was well rounded. I mean, it was well thought out.
Okay. So we'll swing it to the old man, Reggie. Is there a particular album that you like to review for next season?
You know, not. I don't really have anything particular. I would like to review a trap album of some sort.
Okay.
And I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just to get, you know what I'm saying, people's thoughts on it. I mean, I know Trap is not necessarily known for his lyrical content. However, you know, they got some, you know, there's some artists out there. So if it's not like a, either like a T.I. trap music, or I would even go Jeezy, Thug Motivation.
Mm, 101?
I got two chains
in the rotation right now.
Okay, I mean, we can go Pink Girls Love Trap Music. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I just want a little trap vibe in there somewhere. I mean, I think 2 Chainz said it best. I mean, Pretty Girls Love Trap Music. So I would think that people would enjoy
it. Okay, that's fair. We don't have a set list yet, but we do have, I think right now we got about 8 albums we feel pretty solid about reviewing. We want to try to do 15, we'll definitely take you guys we'll take you guys' opinions into consideration, absolutely. And I think I agree with you. I do think that we should do some trap. I mean, Bryson Tiller was like a little introduction, you know, let people get their feet wet. They weren't feeling it, but hey, that's okay. We don't review these albums for us. We review them for the people. What's on your mind?
No, I'm just saying, you got some feedback on that or something? Why you say that?
No, here's the thing. The feedback that I got is that people like Bryson Tiller's Trap Soul. Like it's
okay.
But the people who reviewed it, they had an issue with it. And that's understandable.
Okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
all right.
That's understandable, but it's okay. It's okay. Man, I just want to let me say this. I appreciate everybody taking time out during this season to help us out with this. Man, this is a labor of love. And this is something we've been thinking about trying to do for a while, and we finally was able to do it. We appreciate you, Reggie. Of course, you, Ian, Dave, as always. It's been a really interesting season. Looking at the variety of albums we did. I mean, we did commercially successful albums. We did underground albums. We did albums that might seem a bit obscure. We did an R&B album. We did a 50 Cent album. Man, I mean, that's basically what we wanted the show to be. We wanted it to be something where you can listen to it and hear something different, you know, and you guys have been great, you know, with your notes and just different little, like Ian say, different little nuggets that you guys bring to the show, man. And it's been fantastic. So we really appreciate y'all contribution.
And, oh, man, my pleasure, man.
Thank you, man. No problem, thank you. So with that, man, so we're going to go on a little bit of a hiatus for about a month or two while we record some content, get some stuff up so that the next season it'll be more consistent. We want to try to do this, give you an album review once a week, and we're going to record. The plan is to record some of these albums that are out already. We'll record those. You can get a lot of those recorded so that when a new album pops up, we can record that and then have that ready for that week. You know, we want to try to kind of cut the time out between when a new album drops and when we record a review for it, especially considering what's coming out next year. Drake is dropping an album. I know y'all not excited about it. Drake is dropping an album. Kanye dropping an album. Hey, man, this for the people. There's big people dropping albums.
This last one was trash.
Who, Drake?
Yeah, that Scorpion was a hit. That was a miss.
I agree. Maybe that's something we can record, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was not feeling that Scorpion. Now, I only listened to it once, and I didn't feel the need to listen to it again, but we can definitely talk about that one.
Hey, how about the new one? I can't. This Drake guy, man, he is a blight on the hip hop community.
A blight? Yo. What do you mean, man? I mean, he is hip hop right now.
I don't like these like so called anticipated albums and whatnot for the year. It's funny, man. It's like the best albums of the year always end up being the ones that came out of nowhere. That like nobody really knew it was coming out. You know what I mean?
That's kind of what hip hop has turned into. Like if you think about this year, how many surprise albums we got, bro? Like albums seem to be dropping every week or two.
Yeah.
Like, oh snap, Nas got an album dropping. Like it just come out in a couple of days. You know what I mean? Eminem just dropped the album or like just everybody, man. The Carters, they dropped the album just out of the blue, man. Like I love that now. Like it ain't no more like waiting. Like oh yeah, it's supposed to be out because Kanye album was supposed to be out this year. But
yeah, I saw mean, how I that know, went. They've been saying it's good, so I'm interested in hearing it though for sure.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to hear it.
Who was saying?
No, like it was somebody I can't even remember who I saw, but it was somebody
Charlamagne.
Was,
Kanye.
Charlamagne.
It was somebody that I wouldn't even think that would enjoy a Kanye album that was saying it was good. It was like
Joe Budden
or somebody like who had heard it or something somehow.
Oh yeah.
Don Lemon maybe.
That's Kanye guy. He's the bee's knees.
It was like RZA or somebody that was like, man, he heard it and he was blown away by it. Like, but I can't remember, man. I fact check it and then we'll talk about it on another occasion.
But I don't trust RZA, to be quite honest with you, judging from what he's been putting out. Like I said, it's always those anticipator albums that like seem to let people down.
It's too much hype, man. That's the Carter Five is a prime example, man.
But gentlemen. Yeah. This is what we thrive on, okay? So if it's anticipated, we're going to listen to it, and then we're going to talk about it. This is for the people, all right? This is what we do. I mean, it's for us, but then again, it's for the people, too. I mean, it's a little bit of give and take. So I'm going to wrap it up right there because I know Duke is about to play, and Dave got to
– it's already playing. Oh,
you've been watched. Okay, my bad. But I know Dave got to throw on the double pair of long johns and get on out there. And Ian got some whiskey just sitting in his glass waiting to be sipped up on. So, again, I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart, man. This has been fantastic. And I cannot wait for season two. So, this has been the Litmus Test. Yo.
When you get a chance, I don't know if you want to wrap it up now. I wanted to ask you something afterwards, but whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just edit this little conversation out. Okay. So once again, I've been your host, G. Smith. For my co-host, Dave, for our special guest, Ian, from the Vibe Stuff Podcast, and our other special guest, Reggie Hammond from Chicago. This has been the Litmus Test. Thanks a lot, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.